God. Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the King's Men. I am Mark Houck, your host, with you here at Holy Spirit Radio every second and fourth Friday of the month. And we are here live today on this final Friday of June. And this is the feast of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. So we invoke all the intercession of those wonderful advocates, exponents of the Sacred Heart, Mary Alacoque, St. Margaret Mary, John Eudes, St. John Eudes. We encourage you to enthrone your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. If you haven't done a home enthronement, you should. And I'll get into the simplicity of that. But before we begin our time, let's start with prayer. Again, welcome to our listening audience in the 1570 AM radio family of listeners right here in Doylestown, Philadelphia. Also, the 1420 Chester County, Coatesville area listeners. Welcome again to the King's Men. We are a program about authentic masculinity. And we'll be talking with my co-worker in the vineyard today, Justin Harper, who will be calling in from Kansas today. And we'll be discussing his role within the apostolate, but the things we've been doing as a ministry, sharing those things with you today. But let's quote this program in prayer through the patron saint of the King's Men Apostolate, St. Augustine of Hippo. His prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. We ask St. Augustine to pray for us in this hour, St. Joseph to pray for us, and all those patrons that we named earlier to pray for us. Your patrons, dear listener, your guardian angels to intercede for you today. Okay, so as I said, the home enthronement is something that you should do. Every home, every Catholic home, should be enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it's a real simple way to of enrolling. There's local people within our diocese that handle this, and basically it consists of bringing a statue of Our Lady to your parish, to your home, and for a week, either maybe 9 days of preparation, you have specific prayers that you would pray in preparation to the enthronement. And you need an image of the Sacred Heart, of course, in your home. And but anyhow, there's this prep time, this preparation time, and Mary helps us to prepare to enthrone our home to her son's Sacred Heart. So this is a very beautiful time where you pray with your family and you say these prayers, and the Father leads the family. And then when it comes time for the enthronement, the staff or the volunteers that handle the home enthronement would come out, and you would do a ceremony of sorts, a ceremonial kind of program, whereby, again, there would be more prayers, a lighting of candle in front of the Sacred Heart, and a processing around the home. So this is basically it, and it's a beautiful thing. And once you're enrolled in the home enthronement, and the Sacred Heart image is enthroned, you know, for the family, you don't need to do it at every home. You just take that Sacred Heart with you to your next home if you happen to move and whatnot. At least that's what I've been instructed. So it's a beautiful thing to do for your home, for your family, to protect your family, to have the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in that very special way. Of course, you know, Jesus is always praying for us. But in this, his Sacred Heart, we find many graces. And as Mary Margaret Alacoque mentioned when she was alive about the benefits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the life of the faithful, there's a beautiful quote I want to share with you from her. And she said this: "If you only knew how much merit and glory there is in honoring the loving heart of Jesus, and how great will be the recompense for those who strive to honor it." There you go, from a saint, right out of the mouths of a saint. Before we invite Justin onto the airwaves, we're going to talk a little bit about our programs upcoming. Justin and I will be talking about that today, but I want to remind you of three special events that are upcoming, actually four, that the Kingsmen are working on that you're invited to participate in, dear listener, dear sisters in Christ, dear brothers in Christ. Pay attention. These are for you. Of course, the Kingsmen is a men's ministry and is dedicated to outreaching to men full-time. I am a full-time worker, as is Justin, in God's Vineyard of this ministry. And we have an outstanding program that we've been doing since 2009 called Into the Wild. It's an outdoor experiential retreat, which goes to various state game lands and specific areas around the country to bring men to a deeper understanding of what it means to be a man, to be a true leader, protector, and provider. And we do this through a four-day, three-night program. And this year we'll be in Flagstaff, Arizona, September 12th to the 15th. And we have a fantastic program. We've brought nearly 4,000 men to this program in the last 8 or so years. And we invite you, brother in Christ, listening, if you would like to travel to Arizona, if you've never seen Arizona, we'll be at the St. Joseph's Youth Camp. Now, we have men of all ages that come, 11 and up. Fathers bring their sons under 18 or a guardian. And it's a beautiful experience for the men and the young men to come together to worship their Lord in God's wilderness and to pray together, to do outstanding activities, to have great food. We bring an executive chef with us, and just to experience the love of Jesus Christ to his men, for his men, on the mountaintop. And literally in Flagstaff, we're about 60,000 feet above sea level, so we will be on the mountain. And so that's September 12th to the 15th. You can learn more at intothewildweekend.com, and that will be a wonderful experience if you'd like to go and register. There's discounts up till July, early bird registration, and there's father-son discounts, group discounts you can take advantage of if you'd like to join us. So please consider that. We also have our upcoming Judith Retreat. This is for our sisters in Christ. We started the Judith Retreat program back in 2016, and this was an outreach to help our sisters in Christ heal from the many wounds that we as men have inflicted upon them. And so we offer a program that's led by women. Lydia Britton down in the Diocese of Orlando will be facilitating this for us up in Pifford, New York, which is the Diocese of Rochester. And you can learn more at judithretreat.com. This is a healing retreat for women. It's led by women. The Kingsmen are there to put our charism on it, but we're just there to kind of big brother the sisters, be an MC, and also offer a bit of a reflection on a man's betrayal. That's kind of my role there. We have a priest with us, the son of Lydia Britton. He was just ordained last year in the Diocese of Orlando. So that'll be a neat experience with the facilitator, the retreat mistress, or master, if I'm saying that right, facilitating with her son as chaplain. Very special experience. We have about 30 seats available, or I should say about 25 now, with about 4 or 5 registered. Check it out at judithretreat.com. And we enter into the 7 sorrows of Mary, as well as the heroine Judith from the Old Testament, her story. Great story for women today. And finally, before we bring Justin on the airways, we're going to talk about two other programs that are more on the local level. We have the Samson Healing Retreat for men. This will be our 17th offering, perhaps our 18th offering. Since 2012, we've done 18 of these and brought nearly 300 men together for healing. And this is in Hammonton, New Jersey, at the beautiful and wonderful, saturated holy ground at Discovery House in Hamilton, New Jersey, Mullica Township. And we've been going there again since 2012, and we have another offering November 7th through the 10th. I invite you, dear brother, if you're in need of any healing of any kind, of any sin, any addiction, any vice, any trauma in your past, any pain or current trial or struggle that you have, perhaps you've lost a loved one, perhaps you're mourning the loss of a spouse, a child, a divorce, maybe you're a product of divorce, maybe you've experienced some intimidation or bullying in your life and you just want to put that to rest and find healing from that. Or perhaps you've had some abuse in your background, maybe some physical or emotional abuse or abandonment or neglect. And certainly that's happened a lot to a lot of men. It's all sorts of reasons why men come, but those are just a few. Men with post-traumatic stress, PTSD, men who are first responders have attended the Samson Healing Retreat and have found great healing. We've had Vietnam vets, Persian Gulf vets, current Afghanistan vets come to the Discovery House to experience the healing of Christ and the love of Christ through the midst of their story, or in the midst of their story, I should say. And they enter into that Samson Brotherhood, and they find tremendous healing and hope. And finally, so that's November 7th through the 10th. Let me just give out the website. That's SamsonRetreat.com, and we dive into the theology of the cross. We dive in deeply into the theology of the cross. Father Jim Hutchins takes us to that place on Calvary, and we also have the story of the Old Testament hero and tragic hero, if you will, the Old Testament judge Samson will be our other dual theme on the weekend. So the theology of the cross and the story of the Old Testament judge Samson, prefigurement of Christ. Go to Samson, S-A-M-S-O-N, retreat.com, and you can learn more about that retreat. And then finally, we're going to be having our Masculine Genius Institute, our fourth Masculine Genius Institute. And I'm really just announcing this for the first time because it just confirmed the location. And we don't even have the information updated on the Masculine Genius website yet. It's going to be at the Chancery Office, and this was at the recommendation of my guest. We're trying to see if we can get him on the program here shortly, of my guest Justin today, my coworker in the Vineyard of the King's Men. His recommendation was to take it to the Chancery Office in Philadelphia. We called, reached out to Steve Boza, and we'll be having it there, praise God. That'll be September 21st, and we're going to be, if you've been following the Masculine Genius Institute program, we kind of started out with foundational summit in Mundelein at the Cardinal Stritch Retreat Center back in 2016, and we had a fantastic program and lineup, and we brought men in full-time men's ministry and women who have been working in the masculine genius kind of realm, Dr. Deborah Savage specifically, come to an institute, very academic in nature. Deacon Halberg Sivers attended just for himself. He wasn't even presenting. That was our first opening, and we dealt with the fundamentals of manhood. Essentially, what are the characteristics throughout the church history, even prior to the church, our ancient Hebraic thought, early Greek thought, you know, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, Homer. When we talked about the ancient Hebraic thought, the story of Genesis. We dive deeply into what is a man, what does it mean to be a man, the characteristics of man, and we went all the way up to John Paul II's theology and philosophy. And so that was our foundational one we did in Mundelein. The second year we did Boys to Men, so basically taking a boy into manhood, ushering him to manhood. How do you rite of passage him into that stage, initiate him? That was held in Philadelphia in the Villanova area at the Augustinian Friary in 2017. And then in 2018, we went out to Covina on the West Coast, Covina, Florida, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel, and we talked about the finished man, bringing the man into 18 years of age and where he was completed in his work as a boy, initiating him fully so that he has all the tools that he needs to be an effective man. And now, this year, we're going to be back in Philadelphia. We're going to be at the Chancery Office on September 21st, and we're going to talk about the university man, the man who is now completed his juvenile mentoring and education, And now he's entering into the world of men, but he's doing it on the university level. And we're taking it all the way up to 25, so it's age 18 to 25. So we're talking about the path that a man needs to carve out for himself, whether he goes to college, whether he takes on a trade, where he begins a life as a family man. This will be all the kind of content that we'll be presenting on September 21st. So that'll be all updated on our website at themasculinegeniusinstitute.com. Actually, it's www.masculinegeniusinstitute.com. Just Google that. You'll find it. And there you go. So I think we're good. We have Justin on the line. Hi, Justin. How are you?
Good. Mark, how are you doing?
Great. So as I was sharing with the audience prior to you coming on the airwaves, that you've been working with me for the past year, kind of behind the scenes, brother in Christ, that we met, 3 years ago, I think, at the End of the Wild weekend in Sholo, Arizona. So by way of introduction, why don't you share with us how you came to be a part of the King's Men, if you don't mind, briefly. Talk about how we met and, that journey, which has been awesome this past year. We've been working together over a year now. So, just give our audience a little background, because we really haven't talked much. This is your debut on Holy Spirit Radio, Justin.
Well, I'd be happy to kind of fill in our listeners. So, as Mark said, my name is Justin. My wife is Bridget. We have three children, two of which are living. Lucy, who's about, will be four soon, and Malachi, our youngest, will be one. And we lost a little girl about a year ago. And we were living in New Mexico when I met Mark for the first time at the End of the Wild in Sholo. A buddy of mine had actually invited me to come, and the first year that I had heard about it, I ended up not being able to make it. So I contacted Mark and put it off for a year and came back the following year. I was already doing full-time ministry work there in New Mexico, and it was got to go on this retreat, finally able to really focus on what it meant to be a leader, protector, and provider. And I was really struck by the message that Mark and the team were driving home for the men. There was very much of a desire there on my part to at least be more affiliated in some way. Didn't know what that was going to look like. So we kept in touch a little bit, we lost touch for a few months. I got back in touch with Mark just to kind of touch base and see when the next retreat would be, because I wanted to go again. And Mark had mentioned that he was actually looking to increase his staff size and was going to be hosting a discernment weekend retreat for prospective new staff. And I was very interested in that possibility. And so I went out to Philadelphia for that weekend as an opportunity to really kind of discern this possibility. It was a fantastic experience. Myself and about eight others participated. It was very lively, very filled with the work of the Holy Spirit, and came back very, very desiring to be, to consider this as a full-time switch. Talked to my wife. We both prayed about it, felt called to do so. And then back in May of last year, May 1st was my beginning with the King's Men as the Director of Operations and Development. And so as Mark said, yes, I've been working mostly in the background, kind of corresponding with members of the ministry all around the country, actually all around the world, and trying to help the ministry grow and work through some of the background stuff that can free Mark up to travel and to do the retreats and be able to be more present to the needs of the ministry in that way. And so that's the function that I've been serving for the last year.
That's right. And we have big, big plans for you as the Director of Development, too. And we'll get into that. And when we come back from this hard break, we're up against it about a minute here. When they hear the music, we'll end this conversation. But it's kind of a new feature we have, Justin, here at the studio. It just kind of kicks in, which is awesome.
Sure.
So we don't have to have a lot of production in the studio. But nonetheless, we want to talk a little bit about your work, but also we want to talk about some of the background that you've done. You used to be a focus missionary, at least that's what you did, and you went to Franciscan University, so you got good formation there. Many of our listening audience know well Steubenville and that experience, and then you entered into that wonderful ministry that you alluded to, Emmaus Ministry. So you are a ministry man. You really haven't done much outside of your ministry, right? I mean, you kind of rolled right into it after college, didn't you?
I did, and during college and shortly thereafter, I kind of did some other positions as well, but a lot of it ended up being pointing towards ministry.
We're going to pick this up, Justin. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
My name is Joe Zimmerman, and my brother and I own Summers & Zims. We would be pleased to provide you with high-quality service for all your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. We are pleased to serve the listeners in Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. Our phone number at Summers & Zims is 610-593-5129, or you can simply Google Summers & Zims. My prayer is that God would bless you through His Word as you listen to Holy Spirit Radio.
Catholic Social Services and the Office for the New Evangelization of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia are sponsoring We Thirst, Christian Reflections on Addiction. Is an inspirational presentation series that educates about the topic of addiction from a Christian perspective. The program consists of 5 sessions, which are designed for all Christians, including the afflicted and their families and friends, counselors, nurses, priests, pastors, deacons, chaplains, those in the criminal justice system, educators, and anyone who would like to learn more to become part of a solution to a problem that has reached epidemic proportions. The sessions will take place over 5 consecutive Wednesdays, beginning on July 24th and ending on August 21st, and will take place at the Archdiocesan Pastoral Center, located at 222 North 17th Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. For more information, go to archphila.org.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. Aired by the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that, Justin. I was asking you a question and teed you right up for a little bit more of a dialogue. But anyhow, like a good host, I set you up for failure. Let's start again. Let's tee that up again. So you work with Focus Missionary after college, and you rolled into another ministry. And I had said that you spent most of your professional career in ministry. So you were going to share more about that with us.
Correct. So that is true. A lot of it was at a volunteer or minimal basis. I was concerned that if I was being called to the vocation of marriage, that I would not be able to support my family working full-time in ministry with having a wife to stay at home and raise our children. Because unfortunately, there's just in most positions in the church, there's just not enough money to support families. Mm-hmm. And so Focus was actually the first introduction to me of the concept of fundraising your own salary. And it was through them that I was able to really experience fantastic formation and training and the reality that, yes, in fact, my family can be taken care of so that I can serve full-time in ministry, and has led to now starting my 6th year as a full-time donor-based missionary.
Now, what does that mean when you say donor-based missionary? That might be foreign to some of our listeners. Go ahead.
Right. So if you think about it, many organizations will do national appeals, and in those appeals, they'll ask for money and that will pay for staffing. That would be a different model. The model that I'm speaking of is one in which, through relationships that I have personally, I sit down and meet with friends and acquaintances, share with them the mission that I'm doing, and invite them to consider to support my family directly via the ministry. And so through that, it's nonprofit, they can get their tax write-off, but then the funding goes to my family to substitute for my salary. And it also frees up the ministry from having to fundraise the all the administrative costs for staffing, and it puts it on my shoulders, which is actually, I think, a better situation because it allows me to have a relationship with directly with the people that the funds are coming from rather than a very disconnected relationship. And so that has been a fantastic experience. It has been amazing. It's also been terrifying, only in the sense that it has been a revelation to me of how little I trust in God. And he has shown me over the last 5 years all the times in which I distrusted him, that he took care of me, he took care of my family in sometimes simple ways and sometimes miraculous ways. And so it has really taught me to step out in faith more and trust him and to push forward. And so I'm very grateful for this opportunity. I wouldn't go back to a 9-to-5 salaried position unless God called me to it, and because this has been such a fruitful experience for us.
Right. Well, praise God. We're blessed to have you. You also spent some time in the seminary, did you not?
I did, yeah. I was actually under Archbishop Charles Chaput when he was in Denver. I spent a semester there. Absolutely loved it. My only regret is I didn't finish out the full year. There was a 30-day silent retreat at the end and a 30-day immersion with poor that I think would have been fantastic for my own formation and spiritual life. So if I could redo it, I would just spend the year. But I'm very grateful for that opportunity, and I'm very grateful that God called me to the vocation of marriage and gave me an amazing wife and wonderful, wonderful children.
That's great.
And hopefully more in the future.
Now, you transitioned from a focus to a great a discipleship ministry called Emmaus. You learned a lot through that, and that brought your family essentially to New Mexico because you were living, well, you're from originally Washington, the state of Washington, but the Emmaus mission brought you to New Mexico, correct?
Correct, yes.
So tell our audience, they may not know much about that mission, and that's a wonderful mission to share with our listeners. Tell us about that mission experience for you.
Right. So after I finished 2 years of Focus, we moved down to New Mexico to start doing parish ministry. So it was a big shift going from college outreach, which was easily 70-hour weeks, and it was great being newly married. But as soon as we had our first daughter, Lucy, we needed to spend more time on family life and developing our home. And so we took the opportunity to start in parish ministry. And it was an amazing experience because we got to enter into a more long-term model, which was to walk alongside other families in the parish that were already themselves outside of college. They were already on a career path. They were already in a situation where they're probably going to be stable for at least 5 years or more. And so there wasn't this impetus to get things done rapidly because of changing locations and years and all that that was existing with just the college situation. And so it allowed for more kind of timely and intentional moments with families. We would have families over for dinner frequently. We probably in our 2.5 years there, we probably had over 100 dinners at our home.
Wow.
With just different families, and it was such a blessing. I'm absolutely amazed at how much that influenced our work there in New Mexico. I was working with Holy Child Parish in Paris, which is an amazing small parish of about 750 families that is deeply devoted to the Eucharist and to Our Lady. It was a wonderful situation where they gave me the freedom to be able to come into the parish and help form the men. My wife was helping form the women, and we were helping kind of form both together. And so we built up with the help of a lot of people and really the interest that was already there, built up a community. And it has been very, very fruitful, and we missed the parish very much. And then we helped out with Annunciation Parish. I helped out with Annunciation with helping start men's groups there, which was through another friend of mine, Mike Dill, and who's a missionary there as well, who recently moved. But it was an amazing experience. And before I met Mark and while I was doing this ministry, Mike and I had started several men's groups there using the Exodus 90 model, which is a fantastic formation program. It's kind of like a spiritual boot camp for 90 days. And so it was through that I started really getting involved in men's ministry Then, of course, I did the Into the Wild and met Mark and got more involved. And so when I came on board with the Kingsmen, I sat down with the groups and shared with them this possibility of taking on the Kingsmen model, because the Exodus 90 model is, at least at this time, more of a 90-day formation. I know they're working on actually making a longer-term formation program, which I'm excited to hear about. But I invited the guys to pray about and consider taking on the Kingsmen method, and spent probably about 6 months getting the teams transitioned. They voted for it, getting them transitioned, getting enough team support. And so that once we moved, and we moved back in end of April this year, we moved to Liberty, Missouri, which is where we're at now. Once we left, it allowed for those two teams to really, God willing, and continue to have a depth and a security and a structure there. And I've been able to keep in touch with them, and they're doing really well. And they've adopted the method of the Kingsmen and have found it to be quite fruitful. So it's been a great experience. And yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, it's great to have someone with such, you know, veteran, you know, experience and mission, because, you know, some of the guys that have come to the Kingsmen and people I've worked with, we've had staff for a number of years. You know, sometimes they were just very green to life in ministry. And that's, you know, and I think some people hear, what's life in ministry like? Well, it's very different for every ministry that you might be involved in. However, one common theme with ministry is, it's not in church 24 hours a day or in church, you know, praying all the time, right? Ministry is a lot like a professional career. You have responsibilities and duties and worries and fears and anxieties, just like a secular person would. However, I think a lot of times there's a rose-colored glass that maybe people look at and say, like, life in ministry is perfect, or life in ministry is more joyful, or let's put it out there, right? Like, life in ministry, you don't have negative attitudes. There's no bad work environments. Everyone is Catholic and Christian and loving and charitable. Has that been your experience, Justin?
No. However, so I say that emphatically. No, that's not been my experience, because the reality is, working for the church is just like working for a secular organization, except for the fact that the church is the body of Christ.
Right.
And but the fallacy is where people assume then, because it's the body of Christ, that it's the perfected body of Christ. And so it's been it's been challenging working through some of those things, and, you know, lack of professionality or attitudes or favoritism or just any number of things that you would think would be petty, but they're found in the church. We find it in the church in all levels. So that actually helped me, and to be honest, that helped me be able to work with the crisis that we're dealing with in the church from a spiritual level and not losing my hope in the church. Because I was able to see that, okay, these are people, and these are sons and daughters of God, but we are all broken. We all have our own issues.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's challenging. I know I've had lots of conversations with people where they'll say, oh yeah, I wish I could give up my job and do full-time ministry. And part of me wonders, is that just because there's that rose-colored glass, as you said, or is it because they actually feel that God is calling them into ministry? Because to come into ministry, even with God's calling, does not promise that it's going to be easy. But he does promise that it'll be fruitful if we follow his will. And so it's been challenging. It's been rewarding. There's been sorrow. There's been joy. And this is why I can say now, after 5 years, getting through the hurdle of this, of going from green to more veteran, I'm at peace with all of it, I should say. And it's been an opportunity then for me to grow deeper in trust in God and grow deeper in my relationship with my wife and my children and be more communicative with them. It's helped me, being that I'm newly married. We got married back in 2014, and on the Feast of St. Lucie, actually, it was 12/13/14. And so I'll never forget that. But being newly married and having our assumptions of what married life would be like, ministry in a lot of ways has helped develop our conversations at a deeper level, but also helped to, and especially through the miscarriage that we experienced a year ago, it's helped me as a man realize that in my suffering, I have to invite my wife to suffer with me, and that it is wrong for me to hold it back from her in order to protect her, and to somehow then assume her suffering and make it a one-way power trip, but that I really need to invite her into that. And so it's actually helped. All of this together has been such a blessing from God to help us grow in holiness, for me to grow deeper in my relationship with my wife and my children, be more present to them, and I wouldn't change it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good. And I, as you mentioned, you know, it's not the perfected body of Christ. I liked how you say that. So, yeah, we're dealing with, you know, the fallout of sin, and ministry is it's no different than in corporate world, private sector, or the public, I should say the secular world, but it's no different, and we have still the same issues, and, you know, everyone has the same temperaments, you know, nothing, you know, radically changes when you decide you're going to enter the mission field. You still have to work with people. You still have to learn to adapt to your environment. And so it's been great working with someone who's had that knowledge base. We got 4 minutes left before our second break. We'll tee up some of our conversation for that now. I want to get into, you know, your role within the mission. When you came on board, you are in New Mexico. You've recently moved your family to Kansas. I mean, within the past month, we'll talk a little bit about that.
Missouri, but yeah.
I'm sorry. Missouri. Okay. They're practically right next to each other, right? Is it?
Practically, yes.
But you're near Kansas City, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Kansas City, Missouri. Recently to Missouri. So we're going to get into that, what that was like, but also the graces that you found and the things you've been doing, because there's a lot of exciting things you've been doing within the ministry on the back end that's going to make our experience for our, you know, visitors to our website, but also the things we've learned and the diligence we've put into reaching out to all our men's groups around the country and the world, what we've learned and gleaned from that, what we're trying to do with all that data. So when we come back in a couple minutes, we'll talk about that. But before we finish up or transition to that, let's finish up kind of pre-Kingsmen experience. You know, the conversation we've had, you mentioned a couple times that your wife, you had a miscarriage. When we talked a little over a year ago, we were kind of talking on that level. And maybe you could just lend, you know, some food for thought to those who don't understand miscarriage. And from a man's perspective, I thought this was quite interesting when you and I had a conversation, Justin. We talked about how there's really a vacuum in the church for this type of experience for men. There's really nothing being offered to minister to men. Obviously, there's a lot for women. Talk briefly about how, you know, there's even a calling within the Kingsmen to even bring some programming in this front. But in the next 2 minutes, if you could do that.
Sure. So a man is called to help lead, protect, and provide. And in the moment of a miscarriage, there's no understanding of how to fulfill that calling. And so when we went through our miscarriage, I immediately moved into that protector role, but I didn't have resources to draw from at my fingertips. And so it was a moment of hopelessness and feeling like I was drowning in being unable to help my wife through this. And at first, I had no emotion with it other than to support her. What I didn't realize was the amount of emotion that would hit me 3 days later. And it lasted about a month. It was very, very difficult for me to deal with that, realizing that this baby who was 6 weeks old, who we had both just found out 4 days prior that we were pregnant and we were looking forward to the life of this baby outside the womb, lost this baby. And at first I thought, well, I didn't have time to bond with him or her. And that wasn't the case. I really felt that connection. And it was a moment of empathy, I think, with my wife, but also the spiritual reality that this is our child. This is a child who God has called back to him. And praise be to God, we have done our duty to get him or her to heaven. And that duty is complete, but it is not without suffering.
Right.
And so there was a lack of resources in some ways, but we also had people. I had a couple men that came up to me and invited me out to coffee to talk about their miscarriages and to offer me support. And that was probably by far what helped the most, was one man reaching out to another.
Yeah.
And so despite the lack of resources, that really took care of probably most of the need.
All right, we'll talk more when we come back with Justin Harper, my guest, Director of Operations for the Kingsmen, Director of Development. We'll be back talking more about the Kingsmen role with Justin. Thanks for that input, Justin. I'll be right back.
Join St. Maria Goretti Parish in Hatfield as they embark on a spiritual journey with other parishes and make their way as pilgrims to the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. They'll also make a brief stop at the St. John Paul II National Shrine, where his first-class relic can be venerated. The bus will leave on Saturday, October 19th at 7 a.m. from St. Maria Goretti Church parking lot, and you'll return home approximately at 7:30 p.m. For more information, please go to stmariagoretti.net.
Why the fight for life is still important. I'm Maria Gallagher of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and this is Pro-Life Notes. At times we may grow frustrated in the ongoing fight to protect innocent human life, but this peaceful, prayerful battle is still worth fighting for a number of reasons. We need to end the mauling, mistreatment, and killing of nearly a million unborn children each year. We need to work for the empowerment of women to make life-affirming decisions for themselves and their families. We need to safeguard people with disabilities, including those in the womb. We need to ensure the care of the elderly who are vulnerable to calls for doctor-prescribed suicide. We have to reestablish a culture of caring in our nation. You can join the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation in our efforts by visiting our website at www.paprolife.org. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.
A longtime supporter of Holy Spirit Radio is Holly Hill Health Foods, a locally owned, family-run business for almost 28 years. They offer a wide selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, and formulas. They also have nutritionalists to serve your needs. Visit Holly Hill Health Foods at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, Pennsylvania, or call them at 215-361-7770. You can also shop online at hollyhillvitamins.com.
All right, we're back. I'm going to break in with a little bit of personal information. So when Justin and I were having a conversation about his family, and you're talking about leader, protector, provider, my wife texted me and said that our youngest fell at home, and she's taking him to urgent care. So I'm going to just ask the listening audience to pray for my youngest. I don't think it's too bad. It did fall on his head on concrete, so apparently fell out of the car, Justin. So while they were getting loaded up or something. So this is a life of a big family. You can't keep everything. But as a provider, I need a spiritual provider right now. So just ask our dear listeners to pray for little Augustin, intercede for him, that he's okay, and that mom's not too worried, and the kids are not all stressed out with little brother having some urgent care visit this morning. So anyhow, that's just a little aside from the miscarriage and talking about that role. And I'm really glad to hear that you talked about this. There's not a lot in the church, Justin, but coming together as men, this is a beautiful segue into what we want to talk about, coming together as men to minister to one another. That's right. We can minister to one another as men. It's not a girl thing. It's not a feminine thing, right? Was very healing for you. So it's interesting how you kind of took that. We kind of talked about that because we kind of ministered to each other. My wife and I have three babies that were in our life for a short time, like you, Justin, that now in heaven, three miscarried children. And, that's kind of confusing. So you and I kind of bonded over that. So now you've taken some of that experience, not only in Focus and seminary life and the Emmaus ministry, but now you're transitioning to ministering to men full time, just men, through the Kingsmen. So, and we you came on board with us back in May, working from New Mexico. Tell our audience like your role within that first year or so, what we've been working on. Just give us an update as to all the things that you've done. We got about 20 minutes to talk here, so we can go slow and methodically. And then also how it's important that you continue to maintain your donor base. And that's just, again, to give people a perspective of someone like you who's provided their own, essentially their own funds for this work, which has been a great gift to me. As I've been able to provide my own funds through programming and donor relations, how that's important to maintain as well. So give us a perspective on the work you've been doing this past year.
Of course. So there's really kind of five areas that I've been assisting the ministry with. Mark touched on the fundraising, and I'll get to that. But I want to start with the area of groups. So our ministry began with a small group, and it grew to later include retreats, conferences, and offerings, and to what it is now. But it really started, the heart was in men reaching out to other men. And so with my background in men's small groups, really kind of lent itself to being able to assist the ministry in growing this way. So we have been working on helping build some groups around the country. We even have, I wanted to share this, we even have a group in South Korea, the military base there. A priest, a buddy of mine, is the chaplain there, and he, Father Paul Halliday, and he is featured on the EWTN series related to chaplains in the military. But he and I have been good friends for a few years since my time in Focus, and he was transferred out there. Wanted to start a men's group, and so I've been working there with a gentleman, Joshua, who has been getting the group started and getting it to thrive. So that group in South Korea now has been around, I believe, since February of this year. We've also, as I said, two of the men's groups in New Mexico are Kingsman groups now. We've been contacted by several other groups around the country that are starting or have started. We're excited for that. We've been working on a big area that we've seen for improvement has been to get a pulse of how the groups are doing around the country and now around the world. And so early on, coming in, probably the first 2 to 3 months of being on staff, my task with Tom Wolf and Mark was to interview the group leaders, the main group leaders around the country, and get a sense of how things are going and the mission and how we can best support them. And so we were working on that. We were working on interviewing other key leaders that had helped with retreats and other aspects as well of the ministry, and really getting a sense of how can we improve as a ministry? How can we better support the men on the ground? Finding out what we're doing well and finding out what steps need to be taken to move into this next phase. So that's been for the group. Another big push for us has been to expand some of our retreats. So Samson has been historically in Hamilton, New Jersey, and we've had 16, if I, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but 16 retreats in a row there in Hamilton.
Right.
And we felt a deep call to, especially in light of the scandal in the church, we felt a deep call to start to pilot mobile retreats. With the hope that we also might be able to not only serve those that have been abused by clergy and by members of the church, but also be able to assist the clergy themselves in healing, recognizing that the Holy Spirit is the healer. So these are not medical retreats, but these are opportunities for people to engage the Lord and ask and cry out for that healing. And so we actually started our first non-New Jersey retreat. That was in Arizona, and I can't remember. Oh, it was in
Prescott,
Arizona.
Prescott.
Yeah, in the mountainous pine region there. It was just really beautiful. Great retreat. Met a wonderful priest, Father Dan, who came out to celebrate sacraments for us, and it was just an amazing experience. That was kind of our first pilot. We're piloting more ideas like this to see where God is calling us. We're praying about it. So I've been helping with some of that. I've been helping with Into the Wild. We're having a new location coming up in September 12th to the 15th. We'll be in Flagstaff, Arizona. We have, Mark, am I right, two groups out there?
We have one group in Flagstaff. We have a group in Phoenix. That's probably the other one you're alluding to.
Okay. They're both kind of co-hosting, and they're helping get the word out. So it'll be a new location. We're going to have some great offerings with that. We also have a new Judith retreat coming out, and it's going to be up in, what, Genesee, New York? Is that right,
Yeah,
Mark?
I think it's called Pifford, but right next to Genesee, yep.
Okay, yep. And that's to serve the wives of the men in the ministry and to help them with their healing. It's the female version of Samson. And we also are looking to bring Into the Wild to Switzerland, hopefully next year. We'll see kind of how that progresses. We still have a lot of planning to do and see if God will open that door. We've been working on service projects. Tom Wolf, who's been helping kind of coach us through strategic planning, had this idea to create a new offering of service projects to give men the chance to serve the church in some way physically. And so we've been piloting this in Pennsylvania. And has it just been in Pennsylvania, Mark?
Yeah, it's been at the Fairfield Carmelites and near Gettysburg is where we've done these service projects. Yep.
Great. And it's been a fantastic experience for the men. They can come help repair a fence, repair a barn, get to pray together, have a brotherhood together. So that's been a fantastic kind of new idea that we've been working with. And then, of course, the Masculine Genius Institute, which is coming up September 21st, as Mark mentioned, at the Chancery. And that will be the fourth installment. And I'm really looking forward to that, discussing how men prepare for college and how they prepare for the career, their career after college. So that's been our retreats and et cetera. We've been focusing, too, on increasing our digital presence. So we've been working on getting Facebook more up to date. We have three pages and have been starting to post some things there to get that back up and running. We're addressing our social media needs and trying to figure out what's going to be the best strategy going forward. We have a new Into the Wild website. IntoTheWildWeekend.com was recently redeveloped for us and by John Flynn and Kickstart Media. And so they helped us to do that and did a fantastic landing page with registration information. You can go to IntoTheWildWeekend.com and get more information for those retreats. We've been working with Mark Simon and did my marketing to redo some things with our other websites. We've been having issues with the site, especially the main site, kingsmen.org. We've been having, it's been slow. It's not been having the security protocols that it's needed. It's needing updates on a bunch of different plugins and et cetera, et cetera. And so he and his team have been helping to kind of clean all that up. And we're hoping here in the near future to have that up and running so that when you go on the website, instead of taking 20 seconds to load and instead of the website being down frequently, we are hoping that it'll be about a 3 to 4 second load time and much more frequent visibility on the web. So we're working on doing that. We, in the process, need to switch hosting vendors from Bluehost over to A2 Hosting just to get better customer service. So we've been working on that, getting all that kind of fixed up. And then we have, let's see, we went over that. Okay. And then the other aspect before the fundraising, the other aspect is administrative back-end stuff. So you'll be seeing coming out here in the next couple of days a new newsletter design that we've done to kind of just give a new facelift to our communication with the people that we serve. And so that will be coming out. So take a look for that. It's got some kind of new features to it. We're working on growing our board and getting more support and more active participation from the board side of things, which we're really excited for. We've been working on strategic planning this last year. I flew out for about 3 or 4 days to meet with Mark and Tom, kind of work on what would be our strategies going forward. I've been personally getting up to speed with all that is the Kingsmen, so I'm books and literature and all this kind of stuff has been great. And we've been updating our bylaws. And yeah, so that's been the administrative side. And then the fundraising side, as Mark said, it is critical for us to keep up with our donor base. It is God's providence that we exist. And it is God's providence that we have the finances to exist. And so we an integral part of our mission is to pray for our donors, to pray for those in our mission, to keep in touch with them, and to make sure that those relationships are grow. And it's not always a perfect process, but it is something that we desire to strive towards perfection in. And it's been an amazing opportunity to have those relationships and really, really get the support from them and the encouragement from them, and to encourage them in their own mission. A lot of these people are giving because they believe in what we're doing, but they can't necessarily participate themselves. And so it has been a tremendous fruit of the ministry that we're extremely, extremely blessed for. And it's an integral part of our mission.
Praise God. Yeah. So, I mean, eventually you're going to fall into some national fundraising, which we're not there yet. I appreciate all this update to our listening audience. And again, like Holy Spirit Radio here is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and listener dependent for support. So we encourage you to continue to support Holy Spirit Radio, and this, everything you're explaining and is really important, because a lot of people don't know. You know, they think like, oh, you work for the church. Well, the church has a ton of money. Yeah, well, not necessarily in that capacity, right? I mean, we're a small nonprofit.
Exactly.
We got 1 minute left, Justin, and you know, we don't have a lot of time. So I told you the program will go fast. There's really not much to dive into. What are you most looking forward to? You have a new baby. What are you most looking forward to in this coming year and the last half of this year?
Honestly, it's finding our parish and getting to know the men here locally, and really, really investing in the community locally. That's something that was such a powerful experience for us in New Mexico. We're looking forward to reestablishing that here and making this long-term. We're hoping to be here in Missouri for pretty much the rest of our life and really build those connections. So that will be exciting, and being more and more involved in the ministry, I'm really looking forward to.
Okay. About 10 seconds left. So, again, pray for my son, Augustine. Dear listeners, pray for Justin and his family as they transition in Missouri. This has been Mark Hock. My pleasure. My guest today has been Justin Harper, Director of Operations for the Kingsmen. We'll talk again. We'll have Justin back on the program in the future, and we'll discuss more about your trip to Missouri, which we couldn't do yet. And exciting things happen with that, I'm sure. Justin, thanks for joining me. We'll talk again soon.
Of course. Thank you.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.